I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Listen.
This week on Unbox, I'm speaking with Ryan Pessoa. Ryan is a FIFA esports star from Manchester City. And before that, he was signed to Red Bull as well as Hashtag United and started building his career when he was at university. Ryan began his journey with a passion. He simply loved playing the game and he loved football. He was very competitive and just wanted to beat his friends on FIFA again and again. And when he would find someone online who could win against him, he would constantly play them until he could figure out how to beat them. Everything changed for Ryan when he was invited down to an in-person tournament. And then over the next few years, he recognized that there was an opportunity to go professional with online gaming, to become an esports player and personality. He's had an impressive career and has a real drive to perform to the top standards. This is an episode all about self-belief, building a community and following your passions. Ryan, welcome, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on Unbox. So to start, what excites you about working in your space?
I say just my hunger for it. I've always been a person, of course, for those who don't know me, I'm an esports player for Man City. So I play FIFA, competing in tournaments all over the world. So I've played FIFA my whole life. I've loved football. And of course, being engaged in that sense has always pushed me towards like the social aspects as well. So it's helped me to just delve into the scene as a whole. And yeah, I love it.
And when did you start? What was the beginning?
Yeah, so I've played FIFA, as I said, my whole life since I was a kid. And competitively wise, I started in 2017. So you'd have worldwide tournaments, but I never necessarily wanted to be a professional FIFA player. I was still a uni student. So it kind of started in a way that I wasn't prepared for. You had to finish top five in the world out of, I think it was almost 20 million players. So that's, you can see how hard it was to get there. And I ended up qualifying inadvertently. I didn't mean to.
Where did you come?
I finished top five in that. So you have to finish top five to qualify for the actual event,
right?
And ended up winning it.
This weekend league.
You have finished top five across the whole world. So it wasn't easy. In a month, so let's say there's 40 games per week. So it could tally up to around 160 games, sometimes 200 games a month. And basically, if you lost a game, you pretty much didn't qualify. So you had to win every single game against other players fighting for the same goal that you are. So obviously, I didn't think I made it. So people were sending me emails saying, you've qualified for this tournament in Germany. You need to sign up. The tournament's in June. And I just ignored it. Completely ignored the email. I thought it was like a setup or a scam. And then it was becoming maybe two or three weeks before the tournament. And they were sending me emails saying, you still haven't sent your passport details to book the flights. If you don't sign up by this time, we're going to pass the spot down to someone else. So I thought, all right, I've got nothing to lose. I might as well just send it. My mum was really against it because she thought, this could be a scam. You're giving your details to any random person.
Yeah.
So initially she was like, yeah, you're not going, straight up, not allowed to go. And I still ignored it, didn't respond. And then they just genuinely, I think they just booked some sort of like hotel for me or something and told me that they need my details for my passport. I sent it. I ended up traveling there by myself.
Did your mum say to that?
She was so against it. It only took, because I've been competing since 2017, I said, it's probably been about 2 years where she's properly understood what's going on. Mm. So at the time she just thought, all right, you're just going there, whatever. And once she kind of understands the concept of it, obviously there's a lot of money involved in the scene as well. So obviously that kind of helps for her to understand what I'm actually doing.
Everything's real when like...
When you realize how much money is involved and the teams involved, the teams that I've been associated with, that I played for and been sponsored by. So yeah, that helps a lot as well.
We speak to a lot of people actually, and there's a moment when their parents realize what they're doing. They're doing some real thing.
Yeah.
Some people have said it's when they're first on TV, even if it's on something which gets a fraction of the views that they're going to get on YouTube. But for your mum, what was that thing, do you think?
I think signing for Man City was like the biggest thing. That's a huge accomplishment for me because, of course, I represented a team before that called Hashtag United. They're like huge YouTube team. And it was great there as well. But my mum, as I said, she's more traditional. She had no idea who they were, anything about that. But Man City, everyone knows, like if you're a Premier League fan or not even a football fan, you kind of know the main teams in the league. So Man City, of course, being one of those, it was great to sign for them.
Yeah. And I remember one of the, someone who's known you for a long time, right? One of the big turning points from the outside was Red Bull.
Yeah, that was massive.
How did that happen? Because I know that gave you like a another leg up in a completely different way, right?
Yeah. This is a weird story. So I studied at the University of Exeter for my first year, and I transferred to the University of Surrey just because I needed to be closer to London with hashtag we're based in Essex and I live in London. So it was just like a benefit to be closer towards the headquarters instead of having to travel from Exeter to Essex every weekend.
Yeah.
Too much. No way. So I played football, and my team captain, funny enough, was like a Red Bull regional representative, I think. I don't know the exact name of the job he entailed, but there was one weekend where...
At the Uni of Surrey.
At the Uni of Surrey.
Right.
So there was one weekend where there was a qualifier and I couldn't play football. And I was a bit awkward. I was like, do I tell him? What am I?
Yeah.
So I told him, hey, man, I can't play this weekend. I apologize. And he's like, why can't you play? He was kind of angry at me. And I was like, I'm playing FIFA. And he was like, wait, you're playing FIFA? And I was like, yeah, basically I play for a team called Hashtag United, play in the FIFA esports scene.
He didn't know who you were.
He didn't know who I was at the time. And he was like, okay, that's very weird because they're looking for a FIFA player in the in the UK scene. So it kind of like fit perfectly.
Yeah.
So as I said, if I didn't transfer...
Good thing you told him as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You didn't just go up.
Yeah, I was sort of just going to make up an excuse as to why I couldn't play. But yeah, he was fine with that. And then he put me in touch with his higher ups and then had a few meetings. And then, yeah, kicked on from there.
And what was that like?
Yeah, that was amazing. As I said, Red Bull offered me so many opportunities, like just working with other athletes signed with Red Bull. So it didn't have to be esports players. It could be rugby players. It could be rappers even who were associated with Red Bull. So that was really good.
Amazing. And so, okay, so you've signed for Red Bull. As a thought, right, and then something I want to ask you about, like you've obviously met loads of players in the scene. You've been doing this now for a long time. So many brands have come into this space. I think Red Bull were one of the first to really kick on. They created their Red Bull studio in East London and so on. How have brands and partners like Red Bull changed this space and accelerated its growth?
Yeah, massively. Because, of course, you know how huge Red Bull are. And I don't need to tell you how massive they are. So just having them in and amongst the scene is a massive factor in its growth. Again, many teams as well, not just sponsors, just having the biggest football teams or the biggest organizations in the esports scene or even outside of the esports scene get involved. We even saw years ago, even Unilad, they had an esports team. So they're like a massive, like a social media brand at the time. So just having those type of opportunities for players and for other content creators in the scene helps it just spiral up and up and up.
Yeah. And when you speak to people as well, are they grateful? Because I think in many industries, especially in social generally, right, there's probably a love-hate relationship with brands.
Yeah.
But I think actually in your space, I'm sure brands have actually accelerated the growth 100%. So massively by giving budget to tournaments and players to actually live and make a career out of this, you know? So as a thought as well, right, adjusting to that, how did you adjust to the world of brands, partners, those kind of conversations? Yeah. You didn't think you had management at the time.
Nothing.
So you're self-managing. How did you do that?
Yeah, that was really tough, to be honest. When I look back at that, I kind of like commend myself a little bit because, as I said, I never had any sort of management at the time, no agent, nothing. It was just me on my own, negotiating contracts, having to deal with everything outside of playing whilst playing as well. So that was hard. When I tell people that, they kind of just question me, why? And I honestly don't know why. I kind of thought I could do it myself. And
did you get approached?
I got approached by management before, yes, many times. I'm currently represented by somebody now, or a group of people now. They approached me before, but I kind of just wanted to do it myself just so I could learn a little bit more.
And would that be a piece of advice you'd say for people coming up to kind of get a bit more stuck in if you don't understand? Because I think as you'll probably benefit now, weirdly, from the visibility 100%. You've had around all that stuff.
I feel like that helps a lot in the way that I can approach contractual situations. It helps a lot with negotiations. You learn a lot about the scene. But I would still, of course, recommend having somebody that has your back and they know they know more about it than
and
I
they
do.
Can teach you, right?
Exactly. So you don't really need to do it yourself. I kind of done it the long way.
There's a middle ground, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, the premise that you now could also manage your manager, but the talent and creators, I hate using the word talent, but creators generally, right? You have to be on it with management and know enough and not just be completely led, because it's ultimately your brand and you're working as a team, right? So now that you've had that experience, you'll be able to work with them to make sure that they are working at their best for you as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, amazing. So, okay, Red Bull, Hashtag, obviously amazing sort of beats here. And then like the biggest thing ever, which is signing for City. How did that happen? And what was that like for you, for your mum, for everyone? Because I remember seeing it and I was just like, okay, this is it. Like,
yeah, the moment, as I said, where my family were like, whoa, okay, this is serious. This is something that they keep telling me, "Are you sure it's Man City?" And I'm just like, "It's Man City."
In the Premier League, yeah, one,
yeah.
It's not like,
yeah. So
the B team.
So I told them that, and that was, as I said, a moment for my mum where she kind of recognized, okay, this could be a career path that you could pursue. And as I said, signing for them for me was a no-brainer. I had many approaches. I was a free agent at the time, so I just left Hashtag United off of a great year as well.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of offers from several teams, but I just thought Man City for me, without doubt, I'm going to choose them just because of their stature.
It's funny though, right? Obviously, in this space, you said like could be about your mom, like, could be a career path. You're a footballer.
That's a no-brainer.
And you signed for City.
Yeah, it's done.
It's not just like could be a career path. That's like your life. That's it. That's pinnacle, really. Yeah.
So City were one of the teams that were involved. I think they might be I don't want to misquote it, but they're one of the first huge teams in the FIFA scene that stepped in and signed a pro player. So I thought to myself, they've got an understanding because they've been around longer than I have in the esports scene.
Yeah.
So it's, as I said, it was a no-brainer to sign for them. Being amongst the players is a massive opportunity.
I want to just ask, like, what is that day one at City? Because that's the thing. Not only are you stepping into an organization which is, I think, really on the cutting edge of structure, business, but also getting into this space. But also, you know, never mind the fact that they have insane amounts of capital to invest into this space and to give you guys huge opportunities at the top level. Like, what was that like day one? Like, when you sit down with them and say, okay, this is the roadmap for you guys, this is the strategy. How was that for you? That must have been a bit mind-blowing, right?
Yeah, it was. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of pressure that's sort of applied, not from them, but on my behalf, because it's like, it's all good and well playing for yourself and then playing for Excel and then playing for Hashtag. And then, it's a humongous jump from representing those teams to Man City because it's like there's added pressure. You kind of have a target on your back because people are like, okay, I want to beat the Man City pro.
Yeah.
I want to beat this. I want to make sure that, or to try and compete against him. So you have that target and you just have to just back yourself. And that's something that comes with confidence for not just me, my teammate as well, where it's like, we know that they're going to be players that kind of want to knock us down so they can try and replace us.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like fighting for your own ground as well. So, yeah.
How do you find that? Because that's another pressure.
Yeah.
Of everything else, right? Not only to win, not only to create content, to build your own brand, but also the competition for that spot that you now have. Like, how do you find that on a sort of personal mental health level?
Yeah, it's tough. I'll be honest. Now I'm okay with it, but especially over the pandemic. So there was a time, we have something called the E-Premier League, which is, in essence, the Premier League, but a FIFA version. So you represent a certain team. You have representatives from every single team in the Premier League. They compete in a huge tournament.
And does every team now have a player or a series of players?
Most teams have a signed player, like a dedicated player, but a lot of teams don't. But there's still ways to qualify. So it's like an open bracket where if someone wanted to, you could sign up if you wanted to tomorrow to sign up and try and play for them if you wanted to. So they have that. And it's very weird. To me, the format is very complicated, but in essence that we still have to try and qualify for Man City. Even though we're signed for them, you still have to qualify.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's tough. So you have tons of players, the best players around in the country that try and take your spot. So there was a time I lost in a final against one of them. So that was like, it was horrible. My heart was like broken.
Yeah.
But then I've been qualifying ever since then. But it's still something that it kind of sits at the back of your mind thinking, all right.
Don't want that to happen again.
Not going
to
happen again. So like I promised myself, it's like, I'm just going to work even harder than I did beforehand to make sure that doesn't happen.
So in a way,
again.
A blessing, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But again, it's FIFA. Mm. Anything can happen on the day. You're still playing against players that are great. I might not think they're better than me, but on their day, anyone can really beat anyone if you're at the top level. So you just have to perform as good as you can.
If somebody's coming into the game, how technically do you get to a high level? Because I know so much of it is building through the years, going from game to game, developing your skills and building on the next one. But like, how do you technically and tangibly like get results? That's a massive question.
Yeah, it's very tough because nowadays it's accessible to watch professional players or to see that you got on YouTube, you can go on TikTok, you can go on any other platform, how to improve on FIFA, how to do this on FIFA. The game is very mechanical now. However, when I started off, I kind of got into FIFA from football, not the other way around. So I kind of played FIFA just based on my love for football. So I would build my team out to try and play like Arsenal, like whoever, Man United at the time, who were on top in terms of dominance in real life football. So I kind of mimicked my game off of them.
Yeah.
So that it's different nowadays because of the way you've got so many tactical variations in the game. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. So that's changed a lot from when I started off. But I say now, as I said, just watching other players play helps you. Even at my level, watching other pros play, they might be doing worse than me in terms of the season, but you can still learn so much from things that they're doing that you're not.
And what are some of those things that you see them doing that you go, okay, that's really cool?
Skill moves. So there's like something called skill cancelling. It's very complicated. You have to learn the intricacies of skill moves in the game. You have to learn the new mechanics. There's something called player locking, so you can control a player off the ball and divert his run. There's things like that. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
It's very granular.
Yeah, if there was somebody that took a break from, let's say, FIFA 17 until now, it's a like, different game.
Different world.
Completely different world, yeah.
It's probably me, because I'll probably not properly play FIFA. Like, I remember when I had like our first baby, like, I remember having a bit of time because when they're sleeping, whatnot, playing. Mm-hmm. And then since then, I've probably missed like two years of it. And even that tonight, I'm just like, I'm stepping out. I'm not even doing it.
It's a major change. Like, major change.
People love this new game as well, right?
Yeah, a lot of people. I think this is probably the most favourite across the last couple of years, in my opinion.
The FIFA audience is tough. Like, everyone's like going out to hate it from day one, right? But the fact that you're like, oh, it's actually pretty good.
So
it's a good
honest,
sign, really.
I prefer this one to last year. The last two FIFAs, I haven't enjoyed at all, if I'm being completely honest. And that's something that I've worked on a lot. So we have a psychologist at City. So we speak with her. And I think my problem with competing the last couple of years is like, if I didn't enjoy the game, I'm not going to play as much. As I said, the amount of games I played
7,000 to 2,000, right?
Because I just wasn't enjoying the game. However, I kind of got into the mindset now that even if I'm not enjoying it, I have to realize what was once a hobby is now a career. It's not something where I can afford to, like,
it's not just for fun.
Exactly. Even if I'm not enjoying it, you have to just continue.
Which is why all the lifestyle stuff is really important, because actually is where you get your joy.
That's where I might get my joy
from.
This
is your job.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that, as I said, I have to prioritize this year in getting a routine and a structure that I'm happy with.
Yeah.
And like everything along with it will just come. Yeah.
So City, you see, and you obviously watch the documentary All or Nothing, and you know a bit about everyone knows about City and the way they work, right? How important is mindset throughout the club?
It's crazy. I'm not even just saying this, right? Like, I'm not a City fan. I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm born and raised Arsenal fan. But I have like an undivided love for Man City because of what they've done for me. But the way that they're structured, to me, is second to none. It's unbelievable. Like, when you go to the City Academy, just seeing the way it's structured, whether it's from all the way from the youngest years to the professional, the senior players, it's madness. It's absolutely mad. Their mentality is crazy. You can see why they're so good.
Yeah. And what is that?
Just the way that they conduct themselves around the training ground, how professional they are. You see some of the players, Pep Guardiola walks in, everyone just stands up. It's just proper professional. Like, it's amazing. I like it.
And how do they translate that into what you're doing?
So that's the thing. That's the tricky part now, because again, it's different.
Yeah.
Of course, it is a game based on football, but it's completely different because of course they're using their physical attributes in person, whereas we have to play. It's just a video game in essence. But I think that's the thing, where just being around winners and people that are striving for the same goals, striving to win and be the best in their profession, is something that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Whether it's the same thing you're doing, whether it's different.
Everyone wants to be on the winning
team,
right?
Everyone wants to win, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So that helps a lot.
Yeah. And so now you're streaming every day at 3.
Yeah. So
is that, and do you find like that's your practice? So you're streaming your practice time, right?
Yeah.
So you're doubling up
exactly.
and making content at the same time. How do you find that? Do you find that it's a distraction, or do you find it's good doing it?
It helps a lot for me just to be, obviously as a player you get a lot of critiques, whether you might even be doing great, but you still find people that be like, oh, you're not playing well, blah blah blah. I like to try and put myself in uncomfortable situations, so I kind of want to stream my practice cups, my real tournaments, my practice sessions against other pros. So then, even if I'm, how can I say, so like my mentality is I was sort of scared to stream because I was scared to lose on stream. I didn't want people to see me lose because I'm like, it's a bit embarrassing. But it's not embarrassing. You're not going to win every game of FIFA you play.
People want to see the journey.
People want to see the journey, 100%. I don't want to watch somebody that's perfect every time. Yeah. I need to see how you behave when you face adversity. Mm. So like, that's something that I'm getting a lot more comfortable with now. I play practice tournaments. I play qualifiers in order to reach some events on stream. So that helps a lot, just being more comfortable with that.
You know, the thing that I love about what you said in relation to streaming is how it's almost created this auditorium for you to play in, which mimics to a small extent what it's like in a tournament being watched.
Exactly. Yeah.
And actually that putting almost the pressure on yourself and making you a bit uncomfortable because you have to be vulnerable. It means that from a mindset perspective, you're training yourself up every single day to be able to go into arenas in front of loads of people and compete at a top level. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's something that, as I said, you have to be more comfortable with that. Whether it's you're a player that's been around for years or an up-and-coming player, someone that's new into the scene, you need to be comfortable with playing in front of people if you want to be a professional player or content creator, because that's going to come along with it. There's going to be times where you're going to play at an event where there's thousands of people watching you, and there's going to be times where you're playing at home. It's a huge difference. But streaming, you're going to have thousands of people watching you. So it kind of, it's like a best
it's
of both worlds.
It's training. So you talked about just then around people coming through, right? And people starting out. What would be your advice to people who are looking to do what you're doing at top level? How would you say they can get there? How would you say they can stay at a good position? What would be your advice?
Yeah, in terms of like the actual playing perspective, I'd say practicing, as I mentioned, just watching other players, watching your own gameplay. Like, that's a huge thing. That's something that
do that quite a lot?
A lot, yeah. Basically every single day. So I play a game in a tournament. Even if I win, I might win 6-0. I'm going to record it and see what did I do well to allow me to score 6 goals in that game. And what did I do well defensively to allow me to not concede? There might be a game where I lost 3-2. I want to see what he done to score those goals against me. Or there might be like a skill move that he done in the game. I'll check it, how effective it is at this angle, that angle, go into the arena and practice it for hours on end until I feel comfortable with it. Then I can apply it myself. So that sort of thing helps a lot. It's a lot more, it's easier now because beforehand you had to buy like a capture card to record the gameplay.
Yeah, I remember.
So now you can actually just record it on your console if you've got like a PS5 or an Xbox or anything. So that helps a lot. I'd say, as I mentioned, practicing, but not just practicing against friends, that helps a lot, but entering tournaments online. Of course, some of them require like entry fees. It's not going to be a lot. It's a couple pounds maybe, but it's still worth doing. Maybe it might just be something that you can't do every day because of financial restrictions, but just set aside some money that you could just use that to enter tournaments. And even if you lose, don't take that as a detriment thinking you're not good enough.
Yeah.
It's something that you could just work on. I lose first round sometimes. It happens. You just have to use that as a fuel to the fire to try and improve.
To win the next one.
Just keep trying. So first day you might lose round one. It's okay. Next day you get to round three. The next day you might drop again back to round one or two. Then you get to quarterfinals. It's going to be an up and down spiral. So it's just something that you have to understand that there's going to be good days and there's going to be bad days. The same way with streaming, one day you might have 800 viewers. The next day it might go down to like 300 or 400. And then for some reason it's gone down again. That doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something wrong. It just means that you need to be that person on the platform that people know that they want to watch at that time consistently. Mm. So yeah.
You mentioned those tournaments. What tournaments can people sign up for? Like, what are the ones that you'd recommend to people staying at?
So there's a lot of tournaments in the scene. So even I mentioned the E-Premier League. You don't have to be a pro player to sign up for that. You can be a casual player. Just as long as you're based in the UK, you can sign up for that. There are other tournaments. There's something called Rush, rush.gg. It's like a website where there's tons of FIFA tournaments. You don't have to be a pro to sign up for it, as I said. You don't have to have the next-gen console as well. You can have the PS4 or the Xbox One. You can still play in tournaments specific for that console. And so that helps a lot, especially now that it's cross-platforms. You can play against other consoles. But just those tournaments, you can just search genuinely just FIFA and it will come up with a list of several tournaments. You've got the ones that are catered towards the casual players so they can just learn a bit. You've got ones where it's casuals and pros.
Rush.gg,
yeah. And you've also got ones that are obviously set for the pros. So obviously you can just work your way up. You can sign up for the ones that are with the pros as well, because there's a lot of availability in that. There's no real limit to how many people can sign up. Of course, it goes from 16 to 32, then 64, 128, etc. So as it increases, there's more opportunity for players who are new into the scene to play. So as I said, you can be unlucky and match a pro first round and potentially lose, but it's still something that you can learn from.
But I said to wrap up quickly, who is a creator or who are some creators that you are loving at the moment?
Oh, that's a big one. Well, in the FIFA space or
any space,
in general?
In any space.
Wow.
I'd imagine obviously a lot are FIFA.
Yeah. So FIFA, I say there's someone, he's part of the old team that I was at, hashtag United, his name's Stokes. So he streams a lot of FIFA content. He's someone that has a good personality as well. Someone that, as I said, in the FIFA scene has a personality. He's someone that I watch a lot. Of course, you've got Tex, who's, I would say, the best FIFA player we've had ever in the FIFA space, like in the competitive scene that we've had across the past years. He's basically won everything. Wow. He's someone that is great to watch in terms of gameplay because you can just learn a lot on what he does around the box, very skillful. So it helps a lot to do that. But yeah, other than that, I just mainly watch a lot of football content, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah.
Amazing. Well, Ryan, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having
me today, bro. I appreciate it massively. Before you leave, like, where can people find you, follow you, watch your content and everything else?
Yeah, so I stream on Twitch, as I mentioned. It's Ryan Pessoa with an underscore at the end. On Twitter as well, just Ryan Pessoa. And I upload on TikTok now as well, mainly FIFA content, which is, yeah, Ryan Pessoa with an underscore.
Amazing. Ryan, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Unboxed with Jordan Schwarzenberger is a Listen original in partnership with Arcade Media. The exec producer is Amber Bateman, the senior producer is Lucy Hunt, and the senior digital producer is Alice Tilley. Unboxed is recorded at PRL Studios in West London with the support of Michael Kalizinski.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.